Dara Canning of P1 Predict joining me in studio. Afternoon, Dara. Did you enjoy qualifying, is my question, for the Australian Grand Prix? It took place in the early hours of this morning.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, John. I can't say that I watched it live. It was an ungodly hour this morning. I think it was at 4 or 5 a.m., but I did get up to watch the highlights afterwards. Yeah, a few surprises, I suppose, for anyone that watched the free practice sessions. Ferrari were looking very strong all weekend. Max Verstappen, the obvious choice, was struggling to get it together. There was issues with the car. He wasn't getting the laps together that he needed. But lo and behold, he put it together when he needed it most, and he's on pole position for tomorrow. Great to see the McLarens up there as well. A surprise maybe to see the likes of Alonso and Stroll a bit further back, and also to see the likes of Daniel Ricciardo out in Q1 and Lewis Hamilton out in Q2. So there are issues there for both those drivers at the moment.
Looking at Lewis Hamilton's interview, he looked like he was totally and utterly ticked off with the way things were going. I mean, even when he was talking to Sky Sports, you just could see he wasn't happy. I mean, a blind man could have seen that he wasn't happy with the way things are going at the moment. Is that down to the team? Is it down to the car? Is it down to him?
I think it's all three. I think it's all three. He's got one foot in Ferrari. He's gone mentally. And the team aren't going to put too many resources into building a car around his needs this year. It's all going to be for George Russell, who's going to be there next year. What I'm seeing and hearing is that the experimental setups are now being run on Hamilton's car, meaning they don't know what way it'll go. I think Toto Wolff actually came out today and said that they've run the experiment and they haven't been able to get the extra performance, but that's been at the cost of Hamilton and his performance. But George Russell is in their regular car.
Is that being unfair on Hamilton in the sense that, okay, they know where he's going, they know what's actually going to happen to him, and now he's being punished because of that? It basically, yeah, we know you're part of our team, but we're just going to mess with the car. I know it's your car. Hard cheese, mate. You're not going to be here anyway. You know,
yeah.
And then it kind of does explain, because he was furious, and you could hear it in his interview afterwards when he was talking afterwards. He just was not happy. If he could have left today, he would have.
I could imagine so. I think it's going to be a tough relationship between the two for this year. Obviously, he wants the best car. He wants the best out of his car. He's a 7-time world champion. He deserves it. He's always worked hard for the team to get the best out of the car. And now he's in a position where he's not the number one driver this year.
I have a question. Well, I've actually got two questions from, I suppose, these are the takes from the weekend. One, Sergio Perez been bumped down a couple of spots. He's now down in sixth for Red Bull, which does leave Verstappen kind of isolated up front with a Ferrari and McLaren, up as behind, to be brutally honest with you. And then you have the situation with Williams, who found themselves with one car, and there's more confusion. Now, you know more about this than I do, so can you explain it as in what in the name of God's been going on there?
Yeah, this is a bizarre situation for Formula One. So, Alex Albon, during the free practice session, he crashes the car. He does so much damage that the mechanics decide that they can't fix it. The chassis is not in good working order to go back on that track. And normally, they're pretty good. They can rebuild the cars pretty quickly and get them out again. But they have to decide that that car can't be run for safety reasons. Now, it turns out they don't have a spare chassis with them in Australia. So the decision now is they've got one car and they have to decide which driver gets it. Logan Sargeant, the second driver, the American, he has to give up his seat for Alex Albon this weekend, and it's based on it's for the betterment of the team. Now, it's an extremely bitter pill for him to swallow. He's under pressure this year. His contract is up at the end of the season. He has to give up his seat. He didn't do anything wrong. Alex Albon binned the car, but they have to give it up. Now, this goes back a bit further in that James Vowles, the team principal, has said that, you know, they're looking at the long term here. They put a lot of work into the development of their car and sacrifice certain areas. One of the things they sacrificed during the winter was the development of the spare chassis. That kept getting pushed out and pushed out. They were supposed to have it for the third race of the season. They still don't have it. And they knew there'd be a risk. And lo and behold, now they're being exposed.
Would they get into trouble with the FIA for that? Is there some rule that says you have to have a spare? Because I know in any other level of motorsport, whether it be from single seaters to rallying to every single car and every competition, there's always a spare.
Yeah, it's bizarre. I couldn't believe it when I read it. I don't know if there's a punishment or if there's going to be a fine or what will come out of it. But to be honest, Williams aren't a team that can really afford a fine at this stage. They seem to be I think struggling is the right word. They this whole incident has really highlighted where their development as a team currently is. I like James Vowles. I think he speaks well. I like the transparency that they have there.
He's no Frank Williams.
He's no Frank Williams. And I think they're still struggling to kind of get back to where, obviously they're not going to be anywhere near where they were during the Frank Williams era, but they are, there's progress being made. I like Alex Albon as a driver. I think he's good for the team. And if they can get a good car under him, which I think they will in the next 2 to 3 years, I think they could be challenging for maybe fourth.
So let's look at the top 10. We'll start with Fernando Alonso will be 10th on the grid. Lance Stroll, 9th, Yuki Tsunoda, interesting car, and in 8th, George Russell, 7th, Sergio Perez down to 6th after the penalty, Oscar Piastri in the McLaren will be 5th, Charles Leclerc 4th, Lando Norris 3rd, Carlos Sainz of Ferrari is 2nd. I wonder, is he the son of Carlos Sainz, who was the rally driver, and Max Verstappen of Red Bull, of course, in pole. How do we see this race going? Because I'll be honest with you, the question will be asked, you know, Max Verstappen can do no wrong.
Absolutely. And to answer your question there, he is the son of Carlos Sainz.
Okay. Yeah. Legendary rally driver.
Absolutely.
Drove in Ireland, in Rally Ireland, back in the early 2000s, actually, when they hosted it here twice.
So. Brilliant.
So he's no stranger to this part of the country.
So we have the connection to Sainz here in Galway. Brilliant. It's going to be hard to stop Verstappen. He hasn't really been putting it together this weekend, but as always, he's pulled it out when he needed, and he's, I think it was 0.3 of a second, which in Formula One terms is quite a gap for qualifying. Now, Australia last year was chaotic. There were 3 red flags, and the race actually finished on a safety car. This year, there have been, during the free practice sessions and during the qualifying, there have been cars that have been struggling to stay on the track. And that's because there's a tailwind heading into turn one. Turn one was the scene for a lot of the chaos last year. And at the start of a race, and especially considering that there are 5 different teams in the first 4 grids, first 4 rows of the grid this tomorrow, you could see chaos. That could shake things up. Verstappen's normally quick off the line. He tends to avoid the chaos. He's a much more calm and focused driver than he was when he first joined the grid. But I can see Ferrari challenging, but do I see Sainz last in a full race after he getting his appendix out 2 weeks ago? I'm not too sure. He's done the long distance testing here in the free practice sessions and qualifying. He'd be a good shout. I find it hard to see anyone, probably other than Perez, if he can get up there quickly, challenging Verstappen. And even at that stage, I don't think the team would allow it. So I think Verstappen has the race tomorrow, barring something chaotic happens.
Is there something that needs to be... This discussion happens every few years. You go back to when Michael Schumacher drove and he dominated everything. Now he was having a few, no more than like Verstappen has with the likes of Lando Norris or Charles Leclerc, for Michael Schumacher, see Damon Hill, for example. And you go back further again, Niki Lauda was doing it, but he was having an Ayrton Senna. There always seems to be these kind of passions where one driver totally and utterly dominates. And is there a fear that because Formula One is like that, that if he gets off to a decent enough start, he can't be caught, that people might just get turned off by Formula One because of it? Because, we all love watching it, but sometimes most of us might just turn on the last 4 or 5 laps just to see how it finishes.
Yeah, completely. And it is a big fear, especially when you consider that most of the audience that are watching it now have come from the Netflix series, which dramatizes it. That's what hooked me. And I watched it when I was a kid, and then it took a bit of a gap. But that hooked me back in. It tells the story very well, but it does over-dramatize what's happening on the track, probably because, there was dominance. But it is a cycle. There was Schumacher dominated, then Lewis Hamilton dominated. And then everybody wanted Verstappen to challenge that, and now Verstappen's done it. Now everybody's complaining because he's dominated. It's not a spec series. The goal is to build the fastest car, and Red Bull have done that. The worry is now, of course, that all of those people have come in from Netflix expecting the drama. Everybody watched it during lockdown, and then the first season after lockdown was the 2021 season. That went down to the final race of the season. It was an incredible season to kind of be introduced to Formula One, but there hasn't been much since then. It has been dominance. I think it's going to continue. I don't know, other than having a spec series, I don't know what else they can do, but that's not really going to happen because I can't imagine the likes of Audi or any of these kind of outliers, these new brands coming in. I don't think that they'd want a spec series. They want to have, pump money in and have their car at the top of the grid.
Well, are there any of these new teams that could Or are we just being a little bit in dreamland saying that it's not going to happen? But could we see any of these new teams that are supposed to be coming in maybe shaking things up a little bit, that we won't be Red Bull, Ferrari, McLaren, you know, all the way through?
It's hard to see it. The only way that you could see it happening is if there's money pumped in. Now, I have heard rumours that there were discussions around a Saudi Arabian company taking over Aston Martin.
Right.
And trying to bring Verstappen in and Adrian Newey. There are rumours, but it's not unheard of that, you know, money from Saudi Arabia comes in.
You're talking telephone book numbers at that stage, are you?
Absolutely. They would come in, they would pump money in, they'd give Verstappen what he wants, and they'd lure Adrian Newey in, who's the aerodynamicist behind Red Bull at the moment, but he was working at Williams, he's worked with McLaren. I think he's got over 25 different championship winning cars under his belt. He's the best that there is on the grid, and it's money that's going to talk. They would be the areas that I'd see a team being able to challenge, but that's unfortunate too, because it'll kill off the smaller teams. The likes of Haas will be up for like that. I can't imagine that they're going to keep going with this and finish bottom every year. I know they're sixth now, but it's 1 point in the difference between sixth and last. It's hard to see it. Like, the likes of Audi are coming in, and I think they're buying Sauber, who are at stake at the moment. But like, that's going to take a while for a change over there. That doesn't happen overnight.
It'd be great to see the name Sauber back again.
It would be. And I can't remember if I've read this right, but I think they were planning on doing that next season in the gap between when Audi come in and not. But I could be wrong. I could have been changed.
It would be great to see Sauber back, because of course they were one of the okay, there weren't any of the great teams. They were like the minorities. It was just nice to see them there, even if they didn't do any performance. Just before we go any further, I want to talk about actually the competition, the P1 Predict that's happening at the moment. How are things going with that?
Things are going really well, and we've had a lot of interest, a lot of different leagues being set up. I can actually see we've got statistics from people's predictions this morning. People must be watching the free practice sessions, because only 69% of people predicted Verstappen would get pole, where it was 84% in Saudi Arabia. In Saudi Arabia, Leclerc had 7% of the vote for pole, and he jumped to 31% this week. So people are watching the free practice sessions and are making their decisions based on that as well. It's going well. Yeah, we're seeing a lot of feedback, a lot of good feedback, a lot of positive feedback. We're seeing more users come in every week. We are setting up the leagues. And yeah, it's been good so far. We have a lot of exciting stuff coming our way during the summer months as well.
Before we go, I want to... you can get your chance to plug it as well, because I know that we have a few Irish lads that are kind of knocking on the door, and it would be great to see. Before we came on air, we were actually talking about Conor Daly, who is driving IndyCar and NASCAR now. He's American born, but he's got his dad is Derek Daly, who was a famous Formula One driver, drove for Tyrrell, drove for a few other great teams in the early 80s, involved in one of the most iconic crashes in Monaco history, when his car did a complete 360 in the air. It's one of the real ideal, one of the great sights, it really is. But I digress. Irish guys going for glory, hoping to make the Formula One or the top single seaters. It doesn't have to be Formula One. I mean, there's some fantastic competitions out there.
Absolutely. So in Formula 3 at the moment, we have a driver, Alex Dunn, 18 years old from Offaly. He was actually involved with an incident this week that's gotten a lot of attention during a free practice session in Australia, because they're supporting the Formula 1 series this weekend. He, unknown to himself, impeded another driver who was on a hot lap, which means that they're going to set like a qualifying style lap to see where they could potentially, they're gathering the data to see where they could finish during the qualifying. And a driver called Nikola Solov, I believe he's Bulgarian, he was the one that was impeded. He did not like that. Round the next bend, he tried to let Alex Dunn know that he was there, but he did it very aggressively. What looked like rammed his car into the side of Alex Dunn, shoving him off the track, destroying his car, and red flagging the session. Everyone was in uproar about this. If you check Twitter, everyone is asking for a ban. It was extremely dangerous. Luckily, Alex was fine. The car was destroyed, but he was fine. But the punishment there for Nikola Solov was a 3-grid place penalty, which seems a little bit lenient considering how bad that could have been. Now, the sprint race was this morning for F3, and Alex, for his second race in a row, has finished in the points. He finished in P9, and he currently sits 14th out of 30th out of 30 in the F3 championship with two races with 2 points out of the possible three. We've also got Brandon McCaughan, who's joined the GB4 championship this year, and he's just finished a testing session with KMT Sport on Wednesday, and in the final session of the day he finished within 1/10 of the fastest championship contenders out there. Now, consider the fact that was also his first day in a Slicks and Wings car, so he's made that graduation up through karting into the single seaters, and now he's kind of joining the leagues that are in contention to go from F3 into F2. So his first round will be in about a week's time. Very promising start for him. And over in the States, we've got James Rowe, who's in the Indy NXT series. Mm. He's not in action this week. There's no racing for him until April 28th. But unfortunately, he had a mechanical issue in the first race and had to retire the car. But there are some promising drivers. Alex Dunn's definitely one to watch. I know you're saying Conor Daly's up there as well. And then we also have Zach O'Sullivan. He's of Irish descent, but drives under the British flag. He's in F2 at the moment, and he's doing pretty well as well. Definitely finishing the top 10. So we have some representation there at the moment.
And in the NXT is the second tier down from IndyCar.
Yeah, so that would be like one of their feeder series. And you'll see some of the F1 Academy drivers in there as well. Jamie Chadwick, the Williams driver, she also raced in Indy NXT. And
yeah, just seen it actually feature about her this week. Actually, just happened to glance across it. So that's a great series, because obviously they race the same weekend as IndyCars do. Mm-hmm. They race support races for that series. So it's a great opportunity for him if he can, because the TV cameras tend to follow those races as well as the main races.
Yeah, another opportunity, he's racing under the Andretti badge. Mm. And Andretti, of course, are in the news recently. They're trying to buy their way into Formula One. Mm. That's not to say that James will get a seat in Formula One, but if they were to get their either 11th team or take over a team, he's in contention.
Yeah, or he could find himself driving IndyCar for Andretti Motorsports.
So yeah, absolutely.
As I was saying to you off air, I'm a huge IndyCar fan. I'm a huge NASCAR fan, and it's amazing to watch these drivers, and more recently drivers from outside of the United States who have really, you know, Don Weldon, God rest him, he was probably one of the biggest names, but there's a lot of drivers from outside the United States now getting involved in these series as well, so it's turning them into World Series events.
Absolutely, and that brings a more global audience as well. It's definitely starting to take off over here. We can see trickles of it. I've started to pay a bit more attention to it as well. My attention was drawn to it when the likes of Kevin Magnussen went over and Roman Grosjean, because my interest starts with Formula 1 and it's been brought into different places. So it's a good thing to see,
and it would be great to see Fernando Alonso drove the Indy 500 and nearly won it actually.
So it's a great series to start watching. I'm going to be diving into it in a bit more. I've got your recommendations for your documentaries.
Definitely, if you want to check them out. There's some brilliant documentaries on IndyCar and NASCAR on YouTube right now. And Danica Patrick, ironically, is now working for Sky Sports.
That's right. And she was IndyCar and a NASCAR driver.
She led the Indy 500, nearly won it as well.
Wow,
so
brilliant.
You know, we won't mention her NASCAR career, and I don't think she'll ever want to mention it either, to be brutally honest with you. To say poor is an understatement. Dara, final word though, and then we just talk about P1 Predict, and if people are interested, how they go about doing it.
Yeah, you can head to p1predict.com. So it's a Formula One prediction app. It's free to join. You can predict your top five for qualifying each week and your top five for the race each week. During the race, you can also predict your first DNF, or whether you think there'll be a DNF, the fastest lap and the fastest pit stop, and whether there'll be a safety car. So there's loads of opportunities to score points. All the points you score go towards your global ranking. So we have a global league that anyone who joins the app is part of. You can also set up your own private league so that you can run them with your friends or your colleagues. And coming very soon, there'll be branded leagues, but there's more on that to come. So free to set up, go to p1predict.com. Set up a league, invite your friends, and look, we're always open for feedback, so feel free to give us a follow on the socials as well, and you'll hear about all of the latest updates.
If they want to get you on socials, by the way,
at P1 Predict,
and it's across the board, Instagram, Twitter,
across the board,
Facebook,
TikTok, everything. Yeah,
sweet,
the works.
Okay, there's your, well, listen, you've got no excuses, people. There's your opportunity for the fans to get involved. And as well as that, the great thing is it looks at Formula One from a slightly left way, because everyone knows, you know, let's be honest with you, Max Verstappen, barring a disaster, is going to win every single race. So by picking him all the time, it's just going to make it boring. But there's many other options, which makes it all the more exciting.
Absolutely.
Dara, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks,
and we
John.
Will see you next week, because we'll talk about the Australian Grand Prix. And as well as that, of course, we'll be keeping an eye on how the Irish guys are getting on in the feeder series.
Absolutely.
Because that's going to be something really, really special as well. But thank you so much for joining us.